So good to be with you. And I know that several of you watching this have had a birthday in the past month when our world turned upside down. And some of you will be having a birthday in the coming weeks, and you're not sure what it will look like. And I want to say to you at this particular time a sincere, heartfelt, happy birthday. I've seen several posts on social media of boys and girls standing at the end of their driveway. Perhaps you've seen them as well. And they have a sign, and it says something like this: "It's my birthday today, and I can't celebrate with my family and friends. Please honk three times to help me celebrate my day." And so thankfully, signs and car horns and technology can help with these birthday celebrations. And the same is true for Easter today. Technology and Easter egg hunts throughout the city, looking for those decorated eggs on people's front windows, and those crosses that are imitation stained glass. Certainly these can help us to bring each other together at this time when we are physically distant. But that's not all. We can choose to celebrate today. Even though we're not able to physically meet here at Bethel, like we so long to do, we have every reason to celebrate. And so let's continue this morning as we are together to celebrate Easter Sunday. Now, I want to show you something that is familiar to you if you have been at Bethel here during the Easter season. And it's this image of the banners that are on the wall here at Bethel. And they are here right beside me. They have been put up. And so this week, Passion Week, Holy Week, we have been focusing on the events of Holy Week. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And so we began with Palm Sunday, the first banner. It says this: "Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus is the King of glory, righteous and victorious. And so we remembered this past Sunday that he humbly rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He is the victorious King. Now the middle banner reminds us of Good Friday. And we remembered this past Friday. And on this banner, it says these words, Jesus' triumphant words from the cross: "It is finished." Jesus accomplished what was needed to bring us back into a right relationship with God. And on the cross, Jesus said to that thief beside him, and this is on the banner, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then the third banner, this is what we're celebrating today. Easter Sunday, we cry out, "Alleluia. He has risen just as he said." Amen. Nothing can stop us as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Nothing can stop us as we celebrate new life, abundant hope, infinite grace, and even more. Today we celebrate and we relive the wonder and the joy, for this is Easter. He is risen. Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose on the third day. This is good news, and we need this news, for without it, we would be hopeless, helpless, and lost because of our rebellion and our sinfulness in relation to a perfect, holy God. And so this morning we are going to turn in our Bibles, and I trust that we will see afresh who Jesus is. Let's recapture the wonder of why we celebrate this Easter. Now perhaps you don't know who Jesus is, so please listen closely as we hear what God is saying to us through his word, the Bible. Jesus is the grace giver. Jesus is the death destroyer. And Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So if you do have a Bible and you would like to turn there, we will be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I know some of you are prepared to do this. Others of you have some little kids that you're tending to, and I understand that. We're certainly thankful for our nursery workers and our Sunday school teachers who not only build into the lives of our children, but also help us to hear the preaching of God's word without interruption. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here, the Apostle Paul wrote his final letter from a Roman prison to his close friend and co-worker, Timothy. And Paul anticipated that he would not be alive much longer. So he wrote to Timothy to continue to stand firm and to be faithful to the Christian message, even in the midst of suffering and hardship. So let's walk through the first part of this very personal letter, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll start at verse 1. Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." Can you hear this personal letter from Paul? He calls Timothy my dear son. Paul would be Timothy's spiritual father. Verse 3 continues, "I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." And don't we feel like this as well? Just like Paul, we long to see each other, to once again meet together. Here Paul is writing from a prison, and perhaps we can feel like we're in prison. Hashtag stuck at home. Let's continue. Verse 5 says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Thank God for Christian parents and Christian grandparents who have passed on the glorious truths of the Bible to their children and to their grandchildren. Lois and Eunice are an example to us all. Whether you have your own family or you have spiritual children in your life, we can inspire deep faith in the upcoming generation. Paul continues, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-disciplines." As Christians, we don't need to fear or be timid. God's Spirit gifts us with power, love, and self-discipline. Now these next verses, starting at verse 8, these are the verses that we will be focusing on for the remainder of our time. Verse 8, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Verse 11, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." See the confidence that Paul has in the power of the gospel, the good news. We know the God that we believe in, and we're convinced of his faithfulness to us. We'll finish with verses 13 and 14. What you have heard from me, Paul says, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. What Timothy had learned from Paul, this good deposit, this precious truth of the gospel, Paul says to Timothy, guard that. It's worth it. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. By the grace of God, by the grace of Jesus, we have been saved. Death has been destroyed, and new life has been given to us. This is the gospel. This is who Jesus is. And so this morning, we'll look at some things that Paul brings to Timothy's attention. And the first is this, that Jesus is the grace giver. Let's read these couple of verses together again. He has saved us. This is Jesus, and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus is the grace giver. He saves us. It's by his grace. It is a gift. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't do anything to earn this gift of grace. There's no good works that we could do for our Father God to accept us. The message of the Bible is that we are lost in our sin. We are dead in our sin. This is our condition before a holy God. But God, we read this in Ephesians 2, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Jesus is our grace giver, and we must put our trust in him. We can't take any credit for this. It is a gift from God. His saving is not a reward for the good things that we have done. It's all of grace. We can't brag about this. Paul would also write to his friend Titus, and he says it this way. God saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is the grace of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We don't deserve it. It's a gift that's given to us. We rather deserve the justice of God. Because of our sin, we deserve death. But Jesus Christ took our place on the cross. He took the punishment that we deserved. And this was the focal point of our remembrance on Good Friday. Now, evangelist Rico Tice, he used this illustration in his short book called Capturing God. And he wrote this. He said, where I live in London, England, even amid the skyscrapers, there is one very prominent building on the skyline. It's the Old Bailey, the courts that are the home of British justice. And on the roof is the golden statue of Lady Justice. In one hand are the scales of justice, and in the other is the sword of justice. And the message is clear. Whoever you are, whatever you think, if you are found wanting in the scales, the sword must fall. But then if you track your gaze along from the Old Bailey, you see the roofline of St. Paul's Cathedral. And there stands a golden cross. And that tells me that on the cross, God's justice came, but it came on his son. The sword fell on him rather than me. What kind of God dies on a cross? One who cares about justice for the people that he has made, and because he cares about eternal lives of the people that he has made. God the Son took the darkness of separation from his Father in himself so that people don't need to bear it for themselves. God's Son is Jesus, and Jesus is the grace giver, and Jesus is the one that we celebrate today. And Jesus also is the death destroyer. These verses again in 2 Timothy 1, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death. Jesus is the death destroyer. He crushed and trampled on death by dying. Now, the reason I chose these verses from 2 Timothy chapter 1 was that I had recently just read a book by Pastor Levi Lesko. It's called this, Through the Eyes of a Lion. Now, Levi's daughter, whom they called Lenya Lion, because of her ferocious personality and hair that had been wild and mane-like since her birth, well, her parents never expected that, 5 days before Christmas, December 2012, their 5-year-old daughter would suddenly go to heaven after an asthma attack. How do you walk out of the ER without your daughter? Levi wrote this in his book. Jesus used death, Satan's most powerful weapon against him, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. This we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. But the power wasn't in dying. Anyone can do that. Wait long enough and it will happen to you. Jesus didn't just die, he rose from the dead. His soul re-entered his decaying body and he got up. Unbelievably, he offers this same casket-exploding power to anyone who believes. Death has been stripped of its power. Having disarmed principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's from Colossians 2:15. Jesus took the bullets out of the devil's gun. Satan can pull the trigger, but there are only blanks in the chamber. Instead of being terrified, we can actually look at death victoriously. This is what Paul meant when he wrote these words. Jesus has destroyed death. But you ask, why do we still have to die? For something that's been destroyed, it seems as though business is booming. True, but remember this. God's not finished yet. If there is one thing you need to know about God, it's that he always gets the last word. The neat thing about the way that the Greek for destroyed in this verse in 2 Timothy 1:10 is that it appears in a unique form that is used to describe a future event in the past tense. Something hasn't happened yet, but because it is so certain to occur, it can be referred to as having been completed already. God is the only one who can use such language. We can't talk that way. The final destruction of death is still in the future. It hasn't happened yet, but it will. Levi continues, not only will I see Lenya, my daughter, again, but I will hold the same body I held here, only better. Then he says this, we can be hard-pressed and yet not crushed, struck down and yet not destroyed, not because we know general facts about the resurrection or that there is a heaven, but because we trust in the one who said he is the resurrection and the life, who took the keys from death and hell, was dead and lives forever. His name is Jesus, and he always leads us in triumph. Praise God. We're all feeling hard-pressed, some more than others, but we can have great confidence in Jesus who came into our messy world and he demolished death. He is the Death Destroyer. H.A. Ironside, he's a pastor and theologian born at the end of the 1800s. He told of a time that he was baptizing Christian converts in California. This was in the early 1900s that he was doing that, and it was winter, certainly not like our winters. There was no snow in California. Apparently, it's a rainy time during winter, and it was an area where the only water available for this baptism was in the Sacramento River, and this river runs high, and it is very dark because of the silt brought down from the hills. He said this, "I went out the day before and scouted around to find a place that would seem to be a good fit. There was room for a good audience to stand on the bank. I waded out into the river to make sure it was all right. On the next day, we gathered together. It had been noised around," and what he means is that there was a Facebook event. There was lots of activity on his Instagram account. "It had been noised around that there was to be baptizing, and so there were hundreds of people gathering from all over the countryside. He said, we preached the gospel. I saw those who were to be baptized looking at the dark river. I could tell they did not want to walk down into the water. They did not know what kind of experience it might involve. But while the people were singing the final hymn, I left the company and walked out into the water and went on until I reached the place suitable for the baptizing. I felt around to see that there were no deep holes or dangerous rocks. I could see that those who were to be baptized were watching me. Finally, I went back to the shore, and when I put out my hand, they came one after another. They were not afraid anymore. Why? Because I had gone down into the dark river and had come up safely." Then he said this, "Jesus went down into the dark waters of death and came up in triumph. And those who have trusted in him do not dread death. They know death simply means going home to be forever with the Lord." Amen. That's what we believe. Jesus went down into the dark waters of death and came up in triumph. This is why we can celebrate today. And this is what we celebrate today. Jesus is the Death Destroyer, and he did it by dying. Through death, he conquered death, but Jesus didn't just die. He rose again from the dead. And so we can say Jesus is the resurrection and the life. These verses again, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus not only destroyed death, but he showed us the way to life, and he showed us through the gospel the good news that he is the resurrection and the life. We see this clearly in the account of Jesus and Lazarus. In John chapter 11, Lazarus was sick and he did die. And Jesus comes eventually to see his sisters, Mary and Martha, because he genuinely loves them and he wants to be with them. And Martha says to Jesus when he came, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus reassures her and he says to her, Jesus said to her, "This is Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world." Martha believed. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he is, the resurrection and the life? We can experience new life in Jesus Christ right now because of his resurrection, and we celebrate that today, Easter Sunday, and we will live forever. We are immortal. we are eternal. Though we die, yet shall we live. Our best days are ahead. Listen to these words from Revelation chapter 21. This is what we have to look forward to. The Apostle John wrote these words. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" This is our future hope. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he, by God's grace, will lead us there. In this time of uncertainty that we're in right now, there is one certainty that we can hold on to. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And we can celebrate that here at Bethel, and we can celebrate in our own homes. Who is Jesus? This is the main question that we each have to answer, because it will affect our life here and our lives forever. Who is Jesus? We've seen from 2 Timothy chapter 1 who Jesus is, that he is the grace giver. He has given us the gift of himself. This was God's plan before the world began, and just at the right time, Jesus entered our world. He lived the life that we could never live, in perfect obedience to his Father, and he died the death that we deserved. On the cross, he took the just punishment for our sin upon himself. Grace upon grace. We are saved by his forgiving grace. But Jesus is also the death destroyer. Death has been defeated. By his death and glorious resurrection, we don't have to fear death. Death has been stripped of its power. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our death destroyer has conquered the grave, and he promises us life. And then finally, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Jesus, even though they die, yet will they live. And everyone who believes in Jesus will never die. Do you believe this? If you have trusted Jesus to save you, won't you trust him in your current circumstances now? If Jesus has saved you by his death on the cross and his resurrection, then he can be trusted in this life and life forevermore. And one day we will join together with our great Savior before the glory of our great God. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll sing and celebrate together one more time. But before we do that, I do want to wish each one of you a happy Easter. God bless you and your family. We celebrate God's grace, that Jesus is the death destroyer, but that he is the resurrection and the life. Now, some of us have been reading some prayers by Scotty Ward Smith this week, and I'll close with a portion of a prayer for this day, Resurrection Sunday. Would you pray with me? Exalted and resurrected Jesus, you have been raised from the dead. Preaching the gospel is not useless, it's essential. Faith in you is not futile, but fertile. We're no longer encased in our sins, we're fully wrapped in your righteousness. Those who have gone to sleep in you are not slumbering in the void. They are savoring your resurrection glory. We are less to be pitied than anybody and more to be grateful than everybody. Because you have been raised from the death, everything changes, Jesus. Jesus, your death is the death of death, and your resurrection is the resurrection of all things.